Good afternoon. I am very thankful to my colleagues, esteemed friends of the court, my ever-supportive family, and my cherished friends who have traveled various distances to be here today as I become invested as a judge on the United States Court of Federal Claims. Typically, the chief judge of this court has played a role in the welcome and introduction of new judges to the court during a ceremonial investiture such as this. In an effort to honor this practice and to address the unusual circumstance of both my new appointment to the court as a judge and my recent designation as the court's chief judge, I have appealed to each of the court's past chief judges, of whom there are five, to join me during this afternoon's program with an offering of a brief historical note about either an aspect of the judicial investiture ceremony or the unique role of the Court of Federal Claims. At this time, it is my great pleasure to recognize as former chief judges of the court, Judge Alex Kaczynski, who now serves as chief judge of the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit and who has sent his remarks for conveyance, Judge Lauren Smith, who is now a senior judge of this court, Judge Lawrence Basquiat, who is also a senior judge of this court, and for whom we continue to extend healing thoughts. Judge Edward Damage, who is another senior judge of this court, and Judge Emily Hewitt, who retired from the court nearly 1 month ago. It is also my great pleasure to be joined today by a number of persons who have played an important role in my journey to this court and for whom further introduction will be provided by the Clerk of Court, Madam Cahey. Madam Clerk.
Good afternoon. It is now my pleasure to read remarks conveyed by the Honorable Alex Kaczynski, Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, who has the distinction of serving as the first Chief Judge of this court. Dear Patricia, please accept my sincere congratulations on your investiture as Chief Judge of the United States Court of Federal Claims and my regret at being unable to attend. It's my pleasure and an honor to provide a historical backdrop. My acquaintance with your court began while riding the Metro during the spring of 1982. I used to read U.S. Law Week religiously during my commute. As I was getting near my stop one day, it was Farragut North back then, I came across a new statute called the Federal Courts Improvement Act of 1982. With youthful optimism, I thought, yeah, right. How can one possibly improve the federal courts? I read on and noted that the act provided that the president would be appointing all the judges of the new independent court, and, most interesting to me, he would also be designating the court's chief judge. Shazam, I thought to myself, that's my job. Over the next couple of weeks, I spent considerable time on the phone calling everyone I knew in the White House and DOJ, explaining to them why I'd be the ideal candidate to be Chief Judge of the United States Claims Court, as it was then called. In truth, I don't remember what I could have said because I can't think of anyone less suited for that position. My entire career, all 7 years of it, had been spent either as an appellate law clerk or as an appellate litigator. I had tried a single criminal case on a pro bono basis and lost. My calls were greeted with stunned silence, uproarious laughter, or some combination of the two. In a just world, that's where it would have all ended. But this was Washington, D.C., where tenacity is a powerful currency. A few days after my first round of calls, I started a second round and then a third. The idea seemed to have taken hold, and before I knew it, I was confirmed by August, a few weeks before the new court even came into existence. Shortly after I was confirmed, I entered the National Courts building for the first time to pay a courtesy visit on Chief Judge Friedman, then Chief Judge of the old Court of Claims. I knew this was an important visit, my chance to make a good first impression, so I dressed carefully, picking out my most conservative brown suit. I confidently began exchanging courtesies with Judge Friedman, until I looked down and suddenly noticed that I was wearing different colored socks, one brown, the other green. I froze, realizing at once that Judge Friedman and everyone in his chambers would know that the new chief judge of the claims court was a buffoon. But, gracious as ever, Judge Friedman didn't let on and instead explained that the Court of Claims was ready to appoint me to a vacancy in the trial division so I could work on its transition into its new status as an independent court. I gratefully accepted and within a few days began the daunting task. During the weeks between my appointment to the old trial division and the transition into the claims court, my longtime secretary, Donna Salter, and I went from office to office gathering information. I would speak with the judge, and she'd get the real story from the secretary. Afterwards, we'd compare notes from which we put together a list of the projects that needed attention. As you can imagine, the list was rather long and included a range of issues from adopting new rules for the court to upgrading the courtrooms. But what pervaded amongst the mounting problems we listed was a remarkable amount of goodwill and high spirits. There was practically no finger-pointing, complaining, or backbiting. Everything we heard was helpful and constructive, and the judges and the staff were all willing to do what was necessary to get the institution off to a great start. There was not only a willingness to work on projects, but also a spirit of compromise in solving problems. One more page. Those harried weeks drew to a close, and on a fine day in early October 1982, we gathered in the great ceremonial courtroom on the fourth floor where Chief Justice Warren Burger administered the oath of office. There were many fine speeches that followed, but none finer than Senator Strom Thurmond's. Senator Thurmond, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, ambled up to the lectern in a plaid jacket that rivaled my mismatched socks in its flamboyance. Senator Thurmond apologized to the court for wearing what he called his Haas racing jacket. Everyone laughed and felt at ease as Senator Thurmond began to explain what happens when you put on the robe and become a judge. He said, "When you put on that robe, you enter an ultra world where you have to do the right thing. You can't help yourself." I've never forgotten those words. Often when I put on my robe, I think of Senator Thurmond standing there in his Haas racing jacket, talking about entering the ultra world of a judge. More than 30 years later, I can attest that he is absolutely right. All of us who are privileged to wear the robe know exactly what Senator Thurmond was talking about. With an invigorated sense of purpose on that fall day, we all looked at one another. We were no longer glorified law clerks of the Court of Claims. We were real judges of a real court. We could be reversed, but we could no longer be edited or fired. We were charged with cases that involved staggering sums, containing complex and subtle principles of law, argued by some of the best lawyers in the country. During my first 3 years at the court, I, as a single trial judge, had three cases that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. It took me twice that time to see even one of my appellate cases before the Supreme Court, and I sat on the Ninth Circuit, where getting the Supreme Court's attention isn't all that hard. Such is the intense and important work with which the Court of Federal Claims is charged. In 1985, I persuaded the White House, again contrary to all common sense, to appoint me to the Ninth Circuit. The resulting vacancy made room for the appointment of the court's greatest chief judge, Lauren A. Smith, who will also speak about the court's history during your investiture. During Judge Smith's 15 years of truly inspired leadership, the claims court got a new name and firmly established its stature as one of the court's greatest courts, an institution of truly national prominence. The court reaches a new high today with the elevation of Patricia E. Campbell Smith as chief judge. I wish I could be there to witness the occasion. Sincerely, Alex Kaczynski. I now introduce to you Ms. Christine Lucius, Ms. Lucius currently serves as Chief Counsel and Staff Director to the Senate Judiciary Committee, formerly associated with the law firm of Jenner & Block. Christine began her legal career by serving as a judicial law clerk, first on this court with Judge Hewitt, and then with Judge Richard Tallman on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Please welcome Ms. Lucius.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you today as we celebrate the investiture of Chief Judge Campbell Smith. Even saying that sounds great. I met Trish the day after I graduated from law school when I reported to work in Judge Hewitt's chambers here at the Court of Federal Claims. Her warmth and humor immediately put me at ease, and we soon became close friends. At the time we clerked together, Micah, who's sitting next to the judge, was just a baby. And she had a way of making sure she got enough of her mother's attention, which was usually in the middle of the night. So Micah's needs and her mother's work ethic somehow combined to develop a taste for or require the need for Mountain Dew. It's a caffeinated beverage that usually only people doing the X Games drink. It got to a point where I could tell how little Micah had slept the night before based on how early in the day, usually the morning, I heard the pop-tap crack. When Ash Wednesday came around that year, I remember a discussion among the law clerks over lunch about what we were each giving up for Lent. Trish mentioned that she was giving up Mountain Dew, a truly significant sacrifice given the lack of sleep I knew she was getting. Alas, it was not to be. A couple of hours later, Judge Hewitt pronounced that after much thought and deliberation, she had decided to overrule that decision. She explained that it would affect the productivity of the chambers and that we may, you know, fall a little short in our timing. So there was some polite laughter at the time in chambers, but Trish immediately realized she was serious. And like any good judge would react, she responded with grace and humility, accepted the ruling, and got back to work. That anecdote reveals a great deal about our last chief judge, our new one, and the things they have in common. It is a story of two women who are both people of serious faith and also deeply dedicated to the work of this court. All of us have seen this in Judge Hewitt's commitment to the court, first as a judge and then as chief judge. But Trish, as a clerk, as a special master, as chief special master, and now chief judge, has also dedicated much of her professional career to making this court the great institution it is. And she has done so with the same grace she did in accepting the great Mountain Dew vacature of 2000. That discipline, dedication, and modesty are central to the character of the remarkable woman who is ascending to the position of chief judge today. She has been blessed with a wonderfully loving family, who no doubt instilled these virtues in her. She has earned positions with three of the most serious and principled judges, two of whom are here today. And I know that her service will make all of them proud. She reveres this court and will treat with respect every litigant who appears before her, every employee of this court, and every judge on this bench. Her fidelity to the cause of justice and the unique role that this court plays in our great nation is without question. I can think of no one better to lead this important institution into the next chapter than my friend, Chief Judge Patricia Campbell Smith.
It is now my pleasure to introduce Senior Judge Lauren Smith, who served as the second Chief Judge, to offer his historical notes.
Chief Judge Kaczynski was my illustrious predecessor and is still my friend. He established the credibility of this institution. He built a solid foundation for our future. What he has and what our new Chief Patricia Campbell Smith, Trish, has is the essential ingredient every chief must add to the workings of the court. And here, this court, its leadership. And it's really leadership in every court. Following the years of Alex and I use first names because investiture is a time to focus on the person. For all the laws and rules and procedures in courtrooms, what really makes court work is the person of the judge, deciding the most vital rights of litigants is a human skill that goes to the heart of the judge's soul. It is character and judgment honed by the legal and personal experiences of the judge's life. It is important in court and in many other contexts to speak formally, but investitures allow affection and joy and an appreciation of the loving and human side of a new judge. Let me add a brief diversion from the historical. In Trish, the court is many times blessed. First, she is the best-prepared chief judge in our history. Neither Alex nor I knew much about the institution when we came aboard. Trish has seen this institution for a decade and a half as a permanent law clerk, as a special master, and as the chief of the special master's division. She knows the way the court operates and has helped make it operate. Second, she has the fundamental ability and skill so needed to be a chief, leadership. She projects warmth and kindness that comes from her heart and soul. It is part of her character. And that's what leadership means really in any context, but particularly in a court. An understanding of the needs of the members of the court and of the needs of the institution, and most important, the needs of justice. It is central to the chief's role. The chief must have the confidence of the people she is leading. Trish has the understanding of those concerns, both intellectually and at the human level. She is a true leader, and that stature will only grow and is vitally needed. Back to the historical. During my tenure, the most important early concerns were to fix the deficient legislative structure that had been put together in the rush to create the Federal Circuit. Our court was the stepchild, some even called it the abandoned child, left on the doorstep of the judiciary, while all the focus had been on creating a new circuit court. To use the ship analogy, there was not enough fuel, the equipment was antiquated, seas were rough, and the judges had no life preservers. Those years required the court to seek from the Congress on five occasions relief. Contrary to what many cynics said, the court succeeded in getting all five pieces of legislation through and solving those particular problems. But the seas are never really calm, and Trish in her captain's hat will continue having to navigate, and she'll be a good one. During the 15 years I served as chief, the important tasks, in addition to legislative renovation of the court, were expanding the understanding of who we were in the Congress, at the judicial conference, and in the bar. This was no exercise in judicial vanity, but a necessity if we were to fulfill our governing statute. We needed the resources, an active bar, the new technology that was coming to dominate all professional activity, and a relationship with the academic world. In order to further these goals, the court family created a bar association, a regular judicial conference, and an ongoing relationship with the Federal Judicial Center and the Judicial Conference. A good working relationship with the administrative office of the courts was also formed, and a bipartisan group of senators and House members attended court and events and special sessions and supported legislation to improve the administration of justice at this court. The present and former circuit chiefs actively participated in these endeavors, none more than Chief Judge Rader, who sailed with us in those early years. The new challenges will confront Chief Trish, as they confronted Chiefs Alex and Chiefs Lauren, Larry, Ed, and Emily. Her deep understanding of people is a precious gift that she brings to the court. I am so very confident that she will lead us with her great skill, intelligence, and solid common sense to overcome those challenges for the benefit of the citizens of this great nation who the court and judges serve. May God bless the new chief and United States and its Court of Federal Claims.
Turning now to the presentation of the commission, I welcome and introduce Mr. Christopher Kang, who serves as senior counsel to the White House Counsel's Office. Mr. Kang.
Thank you. It's a great privilege and honor to read this beautifully framed commission on behalf of the President. Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, to all who shall see these presents greeting. Know ye that reposing special trust and confidence in the wisdom, uprightness, and learning of Patricia E. Campbell Smith of the District of Columbia, I've nominated and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, do appoint her a judge of the United States Court of Federal Claims for a term of 15 years and do authorize and empower her to execute and fulfill the duties of that office according to the Constitution and laws of said United States, and to have and to hold the said office with all the powers, privileges, and emoluments of the same right of appertaining unto her, the said Patricia E. Campbell Smith, during her good behavior. In testimony whereof, I have caused these letters to be made patent and the seal of the Department of Justice to be hereunto affixed. Done at the City of Washington this 19th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2013, and of the independence of the United States of America. Congratulations.